ready?
Yep.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the performance scrutiny panel, dated 21st of August. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council's website. Please also note that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. Thank you very much. Right, do we have any apologies?
Councillor Gerrard, who has provided a substitute in Councillor Snart and Councillor Hunt and Councillor Poland for item 6.
Thank you. The minutes of the previous meeting, is it your wish that these are signed as a correct record of a meeting held on the 23rd of July?
Move it, Chair.
Agreed.
Thank you. I'll do those afterwards. Disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. Are there any?
No, Chair.
Any declarations of the party whip? No. No questions have been submitted under Scrutiny Committee Procedure 1116. So we move on to item 6, which is the Quarter 1 Performance Monitoring Report and the Annual Report. And I'll ask Suzanne to join us. Now, the Quarter 1 is what we're discussing. So we're looking at figures, at information from the 1st of April to the 30th of June. So, Suzanne, we'll pass over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. So as we've said, the purpose of this report is to provide monitoring information for the first quarter of the 18-19 business plan, which is linked to the corporate plan 2016-2020. In addition to this, there's also the annual report for 17-18, which we always bring to you on an annual basis in order for you to approve before we publicise on the website. And also there is a supplementary report with regards to sickness as well in your suite of papers. So as always, if you don't mind, Chair, I'll report by exception and go through the report accordingly. So on page 4, you'll see with regards to the performance objectives, at the start of quarter 1, there were 50 activities within the annual business plan. Currently, at the end of quarter 1, 6 objectives were reported as amber, 40 were assessed as green, 1 objective had been completed and 3 had not yet started. So I'm very pleased to say there are no red objectives within this quarter. Would you like me to report by exception with regards to amber activity, or would you like me to not?
I think if we could just do it briefly over amber.
Yeah, certainly, Chair.
But obviously we do appreciate that there are officers and these members here with the amber, so if any questions arise that need an answer, we will ask for those to be supplied after the meeting.
Okay. So moving to page 6, this is the first theme, creating a strong and lasting economy. So within this particular theme, there were 13 activities. 9 of these were assessed as green and 1 was assessed as amber. The amber activity was in relation to completing the milestones in the local development scheme for the preparation of the local plan. Unfortunately, due to a shortage in staff resources in the local plans team, this particular objective has slipped behind timescales. Revised timescales are being reported to the project board in August 18, and a revised publication date will be agreed in due course.
Thank you. Is everybody happy with that? Thank you.
Also, just to highlight the completed activity within this theme, which is with regards to completing the economic development strategy with an aim to creating a strong and lasting economy. The strategy was approved in quarter 4 and then it was published in quarter 1 of the current plan.
Thank you.
Okay, so moving forward to page 13, Every Resident Matters is the second theme. There were 27 activities to deliver within this theme, 25 were assessed as green and 2 activities were graded as amber. The first of the amber activities was with regards to undertaking a range of actions as part of the food hygiene rating scheme, This one has only just slightly been graded as amber, as 72% of inspections were undertaken in quarter one against what is an annual target of 95%. This is mainly due to priorities and other elements being undertaken within the service area. However, the service are confident that the number of inspections will have increased by quarter two and will again be meeting target at quarter two.
If I can just ask a quick one on that. You say you've had an I'm assuming from this that there's been an increase in food complaints. What does that actually refer to? Is it restaurants or fast food places?
You have to get the answer back to you.
I can. I think, and this is only my assumption, is that all our food establishments have to undertake a food hygiene rating scheme, and we have an aim to do 95% of those within the annual business plan.
Okay.
But I can get a more succinct answer for you.
If you would, please. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
And the second amber activity is with regards to undertaking regular satisfaction surveys with members of the public to ensure improvement in the web service they receive. So 48% of people surveyed, which was 120 out of 248 web users, rated the web services good against the target of 50. Work does continue to improve in this area, and the council has been awarded a 4-star Socketim rating, which is the highest we can achieve, and this marks the improvements made to date.
We did have a discussion about this, and although it's 48%, the satisfaction, the baseline is 52%, but only there were 248 web users, mm-hmm. and 120 were rated their services good. But out of everybody that uses the web, it's something ridiculous low percentage. So the panel have asked if we could look at having a more detailed report as to why it is such a low, people are willing to comment on the their usage of the website, their satisfaction, and what, if anything, can be done to improve the percentage of people using it. I think that's basically it.
And there was one other thing which was to say, with the low numbers, obviously, it makes it fairly meaningless anyway. But what you really need to know is what people actually feel about the service, and if they do have complaints, what those complaints are. Because unless you know what the complaints are, you can't actually do anything about it. Now, I don't know whether you've got the information to be able to do that, but if you have, I think we'd appreciate knowing
coming
what it said.
To in a future meeting.
So you want a more qualitative-based report rather than quantitative?
Can I just clarify, Chair? My understanding is you're talking about a separate, specific report from the relevant head of service, which is the head of customer experience, rather than a report from Suzanne.
Oh, yes, not from Suzanne. No, sorry. When I say, I should use the royal we, but not you, but it's the head of service.
Yeah, that's fine.
To give a more information.
It's a separate standalone report,
please,
for a future meeting.
For a future meeting, and we'll schedule it into the work programme.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's fine. Moving forward to the third theme, which sits on page 27. There are 10 activities within this quarter. Just to highlight to the panel, it originally says in your report 7 of these are assessed as green and 2 activities were graded as amber. This is actually quite wrong, and it should be 6 of these are assessed as green and 3 are assessed as amber. So we will change those figures before it's published on the website. In terms of the first umbrella activity, it's about developing a corporate booking system by procuring a cloud-based booking system. I know Kerry Barnshaw, Head of Customer Experience, came and spoke to you about this at the close
of
quarter four. The go live date now is anticipated for September 2018 instead of July 2018, so slightly behind.
Could you also make a note that the date, the final date, should read on that 2019, because it says operation burnout July 2018 with 100 transactions taking place by March 2018. That should read 19, we are presuming.
Thank you, Chair. It's in the details
on page 28. 28. I found it.
Okay. So to go live in September, sorry, can you just clarify
sorry,
what you said again?
It says it will be fully implemented and fully operational July 2018. With 100 transactions taking place by March 2018, which should be 2019.
Apologies. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the success criteria. Yeah. I'll make that change. No worries.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
The second amber theme within this theme is with regards to implementing the People Strategy Action Plan. This was rated as amber due to a slippage in timescales, but it's now been rescheduled and is now being considered in August 2018. So we can report back on quarter two with regards to this objective.
Thank you.
And lastly, delivering the digital democracy project to provide a more efficient and effective committee management system. This is with regards to the system for councillors. This was slightly behind timescales as of quarter one, with an expected go live date of September 2018 for everybody to be up and using that site.
Thank you.
Yeah,
okay,
councillor, I lost another. Sorry, it's just a general question really about these amber things and the slippage. Does anything become red? At what point does something become red? Is it if it's slipped two quarters, or is it if you're not likely to do it in the year? Or?
It is subjective, but if at quarter two, we've had amber twice,
yeah.
We will start to ask questions as to whether that should be red or not.
If it's not done by quarter three, I mean 3 months slippage is not done, but
it would definitely be red at that point. So at the close of quarter three, we will always ask heads of service to do a prediction with regards to quarter four as to whether it's likely to be red or completed at that stage.
Thank you.
Hanson, Bet, Leamington.
Yeah, mine was only a quick one. On that last one, it says full implementation of committee management software system with 52 elected members successfully using the system. I actually think that's a high risk target because some of the councillors, believe it or not, are not totally computer literate.
Are you speaking about yourself or the people you're sitting next to?
Next to me,
I'm not. I
couldn't possibly
comment
on that. But it just struck me as a very optimistic target.
And
I'd be amazed if you managed to get all 52 working.
We'll report back next quarter.
Right.
And then moving forward to page 32, which showcases the performance indicators. With regards to the key corporate indicators, 6 were green, 2 were amber, and 1 was red. And with regards to the business plan indicators, just to highlight to you again, there's a slight error with regards to the numbers. So 11 should be marked as green and 10 has not yet started. So again, we will make that change before the report is publicised. So reporting by exception, I'll just go straight to the red indicator, which is on page 35 and is KI10 and with regards to the number of working days and shifts lost to the authority due to sickness absence. The target is 1.80 days and the actual achieved was 2.36 days. So I'm happy to pass over to Adrian as the head of service with regards to this.
I think, Chair, you do have a supplementary report that's requested by Councillor Poland as the lead member. It's prepared by the HR team and it talks about the HR policies and procedures that are there to manage sickness and sickness absence. It talks about the support that the HR team give to line managers, who are the people who are actually responsible for managing sickness, and it also gives some comparative figures on page 3 of the report, comparing ourselves to the other district and borough councils in Leicestershire. So obviously if there are any further questions over and above that supplementary report, I'll try and answer them.
Okay, Councillor Stark.
Madam Chairman, thank you. Don't normally sit on here. I have done performance quite a bit through the time, and sickness is always one of the things that comes up. And I'm used to seeing sickness rates by directorship or heads of service, and I don't see that here now. I've just wondered whether that was something that could be put in, or whether it's something that is not this council.
Sorry, could you repeat your question?
Yeah. If when you actually look at the figures and you look down and see how you've actually delivered the actual information, there's nothing that relates to sickness rates by director.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I was going to say is that can we actually look at that? And so it actually focuses you somewhere within the organisation where we should be looking and saying, what is there anything we can do? We're not actually saying we're going to punish anybody for it, but it would actually give us an indication of where the issues are.
I will pass to Adrian in 1 second. And we have looked into this because it's something the performance panel asked for about two meetings ago. And I did query this with regards to HR. Unfortunately, people become identifiable because we don't have a massive workforce. So the reasons for and the numbers are so low, people start to become identifiable. And as you say,
not by directorship. Mm.
This is something, Chair, from my recollection, is the panel explored this probably 2 or 3 years ago now, and they decided at the time that when you start looking at that level of granularity and detail, that you then start straying into operational management. And obviously this panel may have a view to the panel at the time, but the panel's view back then was that it's the role of heads of service, directors and managers to manage sickness within their own services rather than councillors. And councillors in this panel were looking at the strategic organisational wide level of absence management, and that was the level that the panel, when they considered this previously, decided they wanted to focus. We can produce the information by directorate, by heads of service level. As Suzanne said, my slight concern would be because some of our teams are quite small, we then stray into the possibility of individual members of staff potentially becoming identified and their own health problems.
Yeah, if I can make a suggestion, I appreciate the point that's being made. And to be honest, I think with the smaller groups, you're not too bothered about the information anyway, because, to be honest, the fewer people, the less relevance it is, because one person being ill can destroy the complete set of figures. So it's only the larger groups that you need to be bothered about anyway. So that's what I would suggest, pick a number that's reasonable, and departments that are larger than that have it at that.
I think, if I may, and as I'll come to you, is the fact that I think we either do it to every directorate or not at all. Yeah, you can't pick and choose directorates that you won't do. I do think we have to be very careful that it would not be enable members of staff to be identified, bearing in mind this is a public document.
If you did it for a one-off, just to check, I think you could do that, because it may be, I'm seeing here that we're not actually meeting target, and we haven't done. I know it's gone down, but we haven't met target. And we can say, okay, we'll leave it to officers to do, but if it ain't meeting target, we should actually know why it's not meeting target. And I believe it's right to look at the directors and say, whereabouts are our issues? It may be that it's manual work, it may be something to do with other things that along the way. But I think it does give you an indication. And I've been to other councils and they do it. And it's been very objective in terms of what we want to achieve.
I mean, on pages 40 and 41, we do provide the absence reason and the numbers. Yeah,
you do.
It's weighted down. You do. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think... sorry, Adrian.
I will leave it with you, because I don't sit normally in here on this committee. I think it is important that we see it and we do something about it as members. Okay.
The information is available, Chair. If the panel wishes to see it
half yearly,
my suggestion would be maybe have it at directorate level to start with, but then maybe as a panel you want to think about what are you going to do if one directorate has 2.5 days and another directorate has 2.7 days.
We haven't got a clue what it is. I mean, it may be nothing, and we could say it's a one-off. We haven't gained any benefit from it, and we'll leave it. But until you do it, you don't absolutely know. You don't know what
it is.
Are there any other people that have some views on this? And I would suggest that it was not a quarters figure, we would need to do it 6 monthly. Councillor Huddleston.
Personal view is that it's going too far into the operation areas. that's my own view. Yeah. For me, strategically, I was looking at page 3 and saying what we should perhaps be concentrating on is why is Melton, and to a lesser extent Rutland, an outlier from the other councils.
They're tiny.
That's the kind of focus.
Yeah.
Rutland's tiny, but Melton isn't. But for me, this
Melton's tiny.
What we should be saying is why are they very different? Are they doing something different?
I think that we're getting into deeper things because
I don't think not because it may be I don't know them it may be that their HR operations are different, their way of managing sickness is different. The rest of them, according to this, we're pretty much bang.
I think what we have to remember is Melton and Rutland are some of the smallest councils in the district, and also
appreciate that. It's just a thought. All I'm saying is that in terms of this comparison of us with local councils,
yeah,
they are outliers. Are they doing something different and better? If they're not, fine. If they are,
I think
that's all.
Right. Well, can we move on? We've taken the points, Councillor Paling.
Just one quick question. I mean, obviously, the figures count themselves in terms of where we see the spike, and that was across every industry in the UK. Okay, do we feel confident that absence is being managed? That's just a straightforward question.
Yeah.
That is for the panel to answer, isn't it?
That's right. You can't, with all due respect, I go back to David's point, you can't tell from that.
But I think in that case, Chair, what would be more useful for you is data that would reflect the stages of the absent management process and how many get resolved, rather than...
Yeah.
Giving you information by directorate or service, maybe it will be more useful for you to know, to have data relating to the application of the absence management process and procedures, rather than the figures by service or directorate, if what you're looking at is the effectiveness of absence management.
Which is what we're looking at, and therefore the different stages, how effective they are. And also,
but again, by the time you get to the final action stages, you're dealing with incredibly small numbers.
Tiny, and they would be able to be identified.
Potentially
identifiable.
There's no reason why it can't be an exempt report.
We could have it as an exempt report, Councillor Paling.
I'm more than happy.
I think we have to be very, very careful.
Yeah, absolutely.
That
Chair,
we
I
do not
understand.
Want to be able to
absolutely.
Identify. Any member of staff by the reports we're asking for. I think we would be derelict in our duty if we did make it able to identify staff. That's not what we're here for.
No.
We're here for strategy and policy and not...
Oh, sorry, Chair, you have got that.
Yeah, we have.
The information.
We've got the 10 cases, yeah. So we've got that information. So only one case went, you know, there to a hearing, so... I would say on that out of our number of staff and the things, that our policies are working. But we do have Councillor Snart has put forward a proposition, and I think we have to make the decision now whether we want this information by directorate at a future meeting. So if I could have a show of hands. That's the only way we're going to do it.
So four?
For a report by directorate on levels of sickness. That's not.
Well, you wish to against an abstention.
And those against. And abstentions.
Yeah. So it's passed.
Passed. Okay,
so can I clarify for the purpose of the minutes? You're asking for additional information on sickness at a future meeting. Are you asking for it to be part of this quarterly report, or are you asking for a separate report? You wish to have a separate report at a future meeting?
An exempt.
Okay.
I think that would benefit, just and it would actually say whether it's necessary or not.
Just to clarify, Chair, it's actually for me to decide whether it's exempt rather than the panel.
Right, we'll leave it in your capable hands.
My capable hands, Chair, yeah.
That whether it's exempt item or not. All right. Okay, sorry, Suzanne, if you were.
Sorry, can I just clarify, Chair, what I will do is, because the Chief Executive's team are separate, I will merge them with one of the other directors.
If you could, please.
Because they are a very small team that don't form within a directorate.
If there's only four people in a directorate, that cannot be looked at at all. Absolutely
right.
Who can combine it with the next team or something. Okay. Right, sorry, Suzanne, where are we up to?
Moving to page 45 of your papers is our annual report. So
before we just go in there, could I just ask a question, Madam Chairman?
Yeah.
I've looked at it, and there are some customer-facing that should be in there, in my view, but there's no reference to any planning. Sensitiveness or anything in there.
Are you talking about the annual report or the performance report?
On both. And I just wondered, was that something that comes up at a different time? I take, for instance, the planning where you have 8 weeks and 13 weeks in terms of doing applications or actually going through that. Why are they not in there, and do they come into a different sort of area?
Yes, so a number of years ago, when they removed the national indicator set, the council made a decision to streamline its performance management framework. So what I bring to the performance panel on a quarterly basis is what we call our basket of indicators to give a health check of the organisation overall. The types of indicators you're discussing are monitored within service plans and business plans at service level, so they will very much fall under Richard Bennett's service area, and they manage them at a service level rather than me bringing it to the panel at a corporate level.
Okay, but they are available.
They're monitored, and you will have to speak to Richard Bennett with regards to planning ones or whichever head of service with regards to those.
Okay. Thank you.
Right, so the annual report, and this is the annual report for 2017.
Yes.
So it's the one that finished on the 31st of March. Right, Suzanne.
It was merely just for any comments or questions that the panel had, Chair.
We just, it is our duty to note the performance results and also to note the annual report. Does anybody have anything they want to bring up under the annual report?
Madam Chairman, could I just... 74, right at the bottom, reduction required. It seems to be read all the way along. Is there some actions being taken about that? Because I noted in the quarter one, we were looking to be green, I just don't see that running right through the actual...
I think if I may, Suzanne will clarify, is that it was green because it was projects that were being put in place.
Yes.
Not that we were looking at, not the actual... Pardon?
Yeah.
Would you like to clarify that?
Yeah, in terms of what the Chair has just said, with regards to the objective, it was with regards to completing the activity and the success criteria set. It is linked to the KI-12 reduction in crime, which unfortunately was read across all four quarters last year. And I think Julie Robinson did come to the performance panel at every quarter to provide an update with regards to the activity that was taking place in terms of mitigating the circumstances.
Okay, any other points on the annual report? Right, we'll get back to that. So, the purpose of the report is item paragraphs 1 and 2, and the action was to request that we note the performance results and note the annual report. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Suzanne.
Thanks.
We now move on to item 7, which was, and I'll ask Mr. Oliver and Councillor Mercer to come to the table. And this I believe, is for to discuss the housing repair complaint for 2017-18, so it's the whole year. Is that right?
That's great.
Thank you. So if I can hand over to, I don't know who wants to speak first.
Sorry, Chair. Peter's going to start off.
Can I have to make a correction to the report, please?
Of course.
Chair. Apologies. On page 3, very last table, it's called Complaint Reasons.
Yes.
It says that it includes upheld or partially upheld stage 1 and 2 complaints. It also includes not upheld as well. So okay. Basically, it's all complaint reasons that stage 1 or 2, upheld, not upheld.
Okay.
And apologies.
Thank you. I'll ask Mr. Oliver to take us to the report. You will start off.
Thank you, Councillor Mercer. It was Mark Twain who said that facts are stubborn, but statistics are pliable, and hopefully these aren't too pliable, because if you look at it in detail, it's generally, I think, quite good news in that there have generally been reductions, as you can see under 2.1. The areas where there's been an increase, if you actually look then in the appendix and dig down, there are essentially three reasons. The first is that more complaints are being logged than have been logged in the past, and that's happening across the board within Charnwood. So it's not necessarily an indication of more problems, it's just that more are being logged. And if you look at the reasons, 50% of them are due to disagreement with policy and delays. Now, the reason for the delays we've looked at before on our performance indicators, and that was caused largely because of illnesses that had been occurring, particularly over Christmas, that had a knock-on effect on our ability to get things done as quickly as we wanted. And then it's policy, disagreements with policy, which is a third of the initial complaints are because people disagree with the fact that primarily we are refusing to put fences up. It's not our responsibility, and complaining about having to pay when they have an obligation to pay. And again, that's not an indication of how efficient or inefficient our staff are doing the job. It's just that people are complaining for the sake of it, because they disagree with policy. So I would say that overall, I certainly am happy with this. I accept there are one or two problems, particularly with the illnesses, which we are trying to deal with by taking on another member of staff. But overall, the fact that we have these reductions, I think, is good news.
Thank you. Do you have anything you'd like to add to that, Mr. Ronan?
No, I don't think so, Chair. Just that we did put an item in the Council's annual procurement plan, because we do recognise that sometimes there's peaks in work requests because of the responsive nature of the work done by the in-house team. And sometimes, of course, there's also dips in terms of the level of resource that's available as well. So perhaps over the summer holiday periods, if we are unfortunate, we have several members of staff that aren't very well. Of course, the in-house direct labour organisation has a higher tendency to have higher rates of absence because of the kind of musculoskeletal issues that arise and that kind of thing. So one of the things that we have done is we're considering having a supportive contractor in place as well to deal with these peaks. So a contractor that if we can't accommodate the works in-house, it can be put out. And this will, of course, minimise waiting time. So we do kind of recognise that we've got a bit of an issue there.
Thank you. Any questions?
Just don't understand the point about tenants have to, you don't look after their own fencing, it's not council responsibility. Well, as you know, in the summer we've had people breaking into old people's bungalows because it's open plan. They're just crawling in the windows and washing and getting undressed at night because there's no fences to stop people walking in the backs. Is there any chance that this could be looked into, you know, and perhaps spend some money and protect some of our elderly people?
I think you're asking us a question at council, are you?
So well, I am, yeah, but yeah. I just now it came up, you said, I just wondered, it's not council policy, and I can understand that, because it costs you a bloody fortune, wouldn't it? But there is some sort of cases where, perhaps an odd fence, or it would help somebody in the 80s or 90s, they could afford to do the fence themselves, you know. I mean, is that something else? If the people could pay for their own fences, would that is that a possibility?
So we would, I guess we would not normally withhold a permission request, yeah. for example, put up a dividing fence between two yeah. properties, as long as it met the relevant planning, you know, planning conditions. Yeah. We wouldn't normally involve that. We would encourage, you know, encourage people to do that where they can. In respect of the first part of your question, I'm not familiar with the exact circumstances of the case that you're referring to, so it's difficult for me to respond to. But I guess that if somebody is determined to undertake a crime, you know, or criminal activity, it may well be that a fence isn't necessarily going to prevent that. And it sounds to me as though an incident has occurred because someone has broken the law.
Well, it's easy targets, you see, some of these houses, and thieves go to the easy targets, certainly. So, but it's something to talk yeah. about later.
Yeah.
When we
certainly consider the options. Yeah.
Councillor Bebbington, then Councillor Snart.
Yeah, just a couple of quick queries. One of them is just a comment. These percentages that are in here as well, particularly when you get to stage two, the percentages are longer than the numbers. Maybe just tidy them up and put them down to the nearest percentage, because 73.08% doesn't actually add a lot of value to things. But in terms of the stage zero repairs, is that the previous contractor or the because okay. when did you actually change?
Okay,
is that a reflection on the new Decent Homes guy?
Well, broadly speaking, okay.
Oh, sorry, Asset Management is Decent speaking, Homes.
Asset Management, so that is, it does relate to Decent Homes works, but it yeah. also undertake and relates to other works as well. So whilst you might attribute some complaints would have been about the delivery from the council's previous capital contractor, that is correct. But other complaints received by the asset management team will be things along the lines of, well, my neighbour's having their kitchen replaced, mine's in poor condition, I want mine replaced, and I'm not happy that the council decided not to. That kind of thing could also be in relation to other contractors as well, employed by the council, because the council does have a range of contractors that undertake work for the asset management team as well. So it doesn't exclusively relate to the capital works undertaken by the...
When was the date of the changeover?
It's 31st of March, so it doesn't relate to the new contractor.
Okay, so it's totally the old
contractor. No 18-19 years yet.
Whatever part of it is the contractor.
Yes.
Okay. Why the reason for complaints on the repairs? That's increased quite a bit.
I think, as stated, yes. we did have a look at this. Disagrees with policy is an increase.
Yes.
Service delay is also an increase as well. Service failure as well. So we have analysed the reasons. I think Councillor Mercer has provided, I guess, a summary of kind of the themes that exist within those reasons as well.
Okay.
Councillor Snart. Thank you, Madam Chairman. And in my view, this is good news, and it just says what I find on the ground. I mean, I think most people that I speak to are quite pleased with the responses we get. And I must say, I don't know whether I should single people out, but there was two, and I can remember one name is Andy Brown on repairs. And it's all about communication, in my view. And he is a good communicator. He does actually do the right things, in my view. And I think this, as I say, reflects what I'm seeing out there. And I'm quite pleased, and I'm grateful. And if you could pass that on, I'd be very grateful.
Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry, I can't remember the lady's name. She's not very tall, but she's very good.
Don't got the advice of me to speculate.
No repairs, but in your area, she deals with complaints and stuff.
Oh, in relation to asset management yes. team, the majority of complaints are dealt with by Emily. So it may work out.
I think bearing in mind we're recording all this, and
that's fine.
I don't want the officer to have to mention someone that it wasn't them at all. So I think the whole team.
I will pass on general rules.
I think there's been a general improvement, and I think that's reflected in people saying, my residents saying it's good news.
Thank you. Anyone else? No. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good report. Thank you.
Could be Claire.
We'll go with Claire.
Right, okay. We'll move on to item 8, which is the zero waste strategy, and I will ask Councillor Lee Harper-Davis and Mr. Bradford to join us. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Right, this item is to utilise the zero waste strategy partway through its review cycle as a test case to determine the benefits and things. We've brought this forward. The zero waste strategy actually started in 2012 and goes through to 2024, so we're halfway through. So it's done 6 years, and there's 6 years to go ahead. I'll pass over to yourselves, Gesrit, and then we do have one or two, well, questions and suggestions. Okay, I'll put it that way.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, everybody. Like as the Chair says, John Wood had the zero waste strategy, which obviously was begun 12 years ago. It was approved through through Poole Council. And this strategy embellishes how the council, or how we are managing our household waste in response, in, you know, ensuring that we look after this in a responsible manner. And obviously, in court, at this current time, in accordance with the EU national and country-wide strategies, and obviously, wish to review along the journey. And just to note, really, that due to a government, a new government plan on resources and waste strategy later in the year, it'll probably give us an opportunity to review our current strategy and amend it if appropriate and accordingly. And I'll hand over to Matt to talk, walk you through the rest of the strategy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Hoppe-Davis. For this particular report, as it was a performance panel, there was a performance focus within the report on the zero waste strategy, and we've looked at how we're performing at this point throughout the strategy. I think when you look at the targets that were set in the zero waste strategy, they were quite ambitious, and at a half year point, I've got to say we've probably performed better than a lot of councils, but it's a difficult position with regard to the strategy that we've set ourselves, and things have sort of moved on in the recycling world, if you like. As Councillor Harper-Davis has said already, there is a new government resources and waste strategy due later this year. We're awaiting publication of that, and that may lead to a review of the strategy in line with the new government approach to resources and waste. We've talked about plastic waste before at this panel, and there was talk of deposit return schemes for bottles and things like that. That may impact on the amount of recycling that we collect at the curbside. Some of that is returned through retail outlets and other outlets. So we wait and see at this point in time what the new strategy will say, but it's quite likely that we'll have a look at that and decide whether we need to review the zero waste strategy going forward. I think the introduction to the report provides a little context about where our responsibilities lie with regard to two-tier local authorities area. So we are the responsible authority for collecting the waste, and the County Council is responsible for making the disposal arrangements, and we work hand in hand to make sure that that works together. I'm not sure if we want to go into any specifics of the report now.
Okay.
I'm happy to take any questions.
Well, one of the things you've already mentioned, Matt, was that the panel thought that as we were halfway through the strategy, that it might be now is an opportune time to review it and maybe tweak it and alter it, because where we were in 2012 in a number of things bears no relation to where we are now. And of course you have already mentioned that as under page 4, the final paragraph, when you've mentioned that there's the new resources and waste strategy from government coming through, so that seems an optimum time to really revisit this strategy. The other point that was brought forward, should we call it the zero waste strategy or should we call it waste management strategy? You'll never get zero waste. But I think at that time, back in 2012, it was more of a government-led thing that you were looking at a zero waste strategy. Also, of course, there are figures that show that, and we've discussed this many, many times at performance scrutiny, is the level of recycling. But again, over this 12 to 6-year period, certain items of recycling have altered. Glass is much cheaper, much less weight. People aren't using newspapers so much. I think we're down now, some years ago, I think we had 3 paper company people who recycle paper in the country, and we did the other things, I think we're down to 1 now, if at all. So this makes it very challenging to meet the targets and the strategy that was put in place in 2012. So that was my point. Can we change the name? And this panel would really encourage the fact that this was revisited as early as possible next year, once you've got the government strategies, to revisit this and refresh it. Right. Would you like to comment on that, and then I'll open it up?
Respond there, Chair. I think the zero waste strategy title was it was an aspiration to send zero waste to landfill.
Yes.
And that was the reasoning behind the title there. Now, with the arrangements being as they are in the county, the borough council being responsible for the collections, the county council being responsible for the disposal, the amount of waste that goes to landfill isn't actually within the borough's control. That's a county council decision, and we do work in partnership with them, but ultimately they make the arrangements for that. So that's something that we don't directly control. So I think we should consider a change to the title, and I think that's good. I think we do need to review this strategy, because I think it is quite possible that the government's national strategy with regard to recycling is going to waste, and we are going to get things like deposit return schemes and things like that being introduced, and that will reduce the amount of weight that we get in the recycling bin. And I think another reason for review is, as Councillor Fry has already said, that some of the targets in there were quite ambitious and far-reaching, and if I'm honest, it's unlikely that we're going to achieve those targets. So I think setting some more realistic targets would be beneficial.
Thank you. Councillor Haddleston.
Just a couple of comments, really. My take on this as a strategy is that basically it's been a bit of a failure in that over the 6-year period, from what I can see of the figures at the front, nothing's really changed. So the same things going to waste, the same recycling. The second point, and again, it's just a point, so simply revisiting this as it stands, I don't see the point, because if it's not going to do anything, it's not going to do anything. One of my comments would be that you do seem to say in here you're aware of the ways that you might improve things and that it will cost money. On page 4, there are some figures which seem to indicate that we spend less on these services than average. I don't know if that's correct. And it's therefore the key strategic decision for the council to take, and that's for you, the cabinet, or whoever, is should we put more money into this service to improve the performance? Because it sounds as though unless you do that, doesn't matter what you put in the paper, doesn't matter what targets you set, whether they're good, bad or indifferent, unless there's going to be some more resource put in, it's not going to have any effect, in which case I question the point of having it. Do you see what I mean? I'm not having a go, I'm just saying there's no point unless the council is prepared to put the money in to do it. And that's a strategic decision, not for this committee, but for somebody.
Can I just say, come back to Councillor Hoddleston's points there. I think it's right that the performance has been quite static, and there's no hiding away from that. We are performing reasonably well when compared with other authorities. I think we did sort of overshoot a little bit with our targets when we wrote the strategy, if I'm honest. And And if they were a bit lower, then that may read a little bit better at this stage. I think there's a diminishing return on the council's investment with regard to investment. So that as your performance improves, you have to invest more money to get small margins out there. So, but when we've looked at the performance and things that we can do. There are things that we could do to improve performance, but it would be quite costly. And I question whether they're.
I think that's the point that I'm making. You know, if the strategy is to improve performance to the 70% that some other people are doing, the strategic decision is it worth the money to do that? If it's not, that's fine. In which case, there's no point having a strategy to improve it.
I think we do need a strategy, and I think the strategy may be around getting to 50% plus. And I think in the changing world that we live in, where recycling, the weight of recycling is reducing, even to remain standard is quite challenging at the moment. I think the councils that are performing higher and achieving 62% recycling composting rate, they're in a different position from us. They provide free garden waste collections, so a lot of that material that's collected is compostable material, and they're doing food waste collections. But in order to accommodate those food waste collections, they've reduced the collection frequency from the other bins. So you might get your black bin waste and your recycling collected 3 weekly instead of 2 weekly, and then a weekly food waste collection introduced. Now, all of that costs quite a lot of money. So for example, the garden waste collection, charging for garden waste collection brings 1.2 million in income every year. I don't think we could afford to forego that income at the moment. And we'd probably have to pay Serco more because we'd be collecting more bins if it was free. So it is quite difficult with our current collection arrangements.
I guess what I'm saying is I think we should be honest and say to get much better than this is going to cost something that we are not prepared to put in. That's all. You can fill around the strategies as much as you like, and it's not going to do anything for the next 6 years, the way it's done nothing for the last 6 years.
Councillor Bebbington.
I actually in support of Matt, and obviously I think we should be very proud of we haven't attained the targets we aspire to. But I certainly went through to do a recycler visit and case pack, and they certainly, from a reflection point of view, they were very happy with CBC and what we achieved so far. And I think to call something a failure is probably not the correct thing to do. I think we haven't got it quite right. We're working towards getting it right. And I think aspiration, we have to wait and see what the government says, because that's our direction, isn't it? That is the direction of travel that we take, it's from them. And I think from a collection point of view, whether it's recycler or whether it's brown bins or black bins, I don't think we have many complaints whatsoever. From a strategy point of view, I don't believe it's a failure. I think it's something that we work towards getting improving at. Thank you.
Councillor Berry.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I noted this. One of the things that does strike me is actually how much of this Charnwood is actually able to influence. There's an awful lot needs to come from elsewhere to actually help us to achieve this. If you go to page 6, there's a diagram one called the waste hierarchy. I think this is a very important actually information for people to look at, and this is very good. The primary thing is prevention, and that has to be central government. They have to start having standards that actually treat things like film and whatnot, or the mixing of materials together, which makes recycling much more difficult. That is the biggest thing that will affect things, and it's local government. And when you get down to the bottom ends, which is where we can make a difference, if they haven't done the prevention right, then the point that's being made, which is that the things are very expensive to sort out. The thing about food is, some countries, it's actually quite effective because they have an awful lot of food waste because of the way they do their cooking. We tend not to have so much food waste. You might want to restrict it to restaurant areas, for example, where it's cost effective to actually collect it on an even nightly basis. But I actually wouldn't see food waste being worth collecting generally, because there's not enough to make it worthwhile. But what I would like to see is when that the report that we were talking about later on, I would actually like to see that weighted to show what we can actually affect as a council, so that it actually has more meaning for the councillors altogether. And that was where I was eventually getting to, because otherwise you just get confused by the overall grand scheme of things, and that's not what we're about. We're about our bit.
Matt, you wanted to come back, and then Councillor Forrest.
It's generally thought that between about 30% and 40% of the weight of the residual bin that we collect on average is food waste, so it's quite high content in there on domestic bins. I think the issue with food waste collections is the behaviour change in getting people to take it out of their black bin and collect it separately and put it out for collection separately. I have done food waste schemes in the past at previous authorities that I've worked in. It's very difficult to drive that take up amongst residents there, and you can get a good spike initially, but participation tends to drop off after a while. And quite a few councils are now actually taking food waste schemes away.
If I can respond to that, because I take your point. One of the big problems, of course, with food waste is the fact that after a very short period of time, particularly in the sort of weather we've been having recently, it does smell. And so people wrap it in plastic and put it somewhere else. And of course, then you've got the additional problem of actually separating the damn thing out, and that increases the cost. So I actually don't think it's really feasible in this country. But I take your point, and that's why I'm going back to the point I was making. I'd like to see it weighted to what we can do.
Councillor Forrest.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. You don't wrap your food waste in plastic, you wrap it in newspaper.
But people don't get newspaper.
Well, people, you know, there was once a time when we all knew this, and we don't anymore, but you wrap. But I wanted to agree with Councillor Bebbington, because some of this is beyond Charlotte Borough Council's control. I treated my family to a co-op pizza the other night, and it was in a cardboard box, but in the centre was cellophane, and then I took the pizza out of the box and that was wrapped in plastic. But when I looked at the box for the recycling advice, the only thing I could recycle was the cardboard box. The actual wrapping of the pizza was not recyclable, and the cellophane at the front, it said not check your local recycling. Now, am I really going to stand in my kitchen, get my computer out and go, well, I'd have to take it to Leicester. I'm not going to do that. So the only thing I recycled was the cardboard box. The other stuff, I knew I couldn't cycle it. But there was a lot there that just went, it's just going to go into landfill or whatever. But that's beyond us. What are we going to do about it? All we can do is to put our views to
the government
with the hope that they can lobby the industries. But at the moment, I think industry, and it's not within our power, but industry, manufacturers, could do a lot more to help with recycling.
I think... Sorry, Councillor Hupton.
No, I was just going to say, so I was just coming back to recyclers again, because I think it's very interesting. I think we do awareness campaigns because it's really important. It only takes one nappy to soil a whole dust green bin. And, you know, no matter how many publicity media campaigns we do, I think, I don't know how we can increase awareness, because that will all help to attain our goal at the end of the day. And I know from conversations when we did our tour, it was very educational. And then if we, you know, when we ship, take the shipping out to China to recycle, and it would just take one piece of contaminant in a whole HGV lorry, and they refuse to take that lorry, and they send it all back. So like Councillor Beverton says, we're the lap of the gods sometimes, because you know, we are at the mercy of the government and the public, and there's only so much you can do from a public perspective. But I think as a borough, I think from a recycling point of view and the awareness campaigns that we do and stickers on the bins, I think personally, you know, outside
and
of the
co-mingled.
Yeah, we do a good job. We do a good job, and we're at the mercy of, like, you know, some people putting what they want into the green bins, and that's, you know, we can't do any more than we do.
Councillor Stark.
Thank you. I just think we're in a different era now in that the pushing of the plastic and all such things as that. It's probably been just very quick questions. Do we do any areas and understand the areas of the borough? Do we get bigger returns of recycling from different areas? Do we know that, where we could actually put more emphasis on certain areas to get our levels up? And the other thing is on page 37, which is the data spend, I notice Harborough spend £50 an IT on their waste per head. Do they get any benefit from that? Have we done any benchmarking in terms of what other districts are doing? And would it be worthwhile doing some benchmarking?
Okay, I'll come to the I'll answer that question first. These are the figures that get returned as part of the accounting returns at the end of the year, and these figures are put together by the LGA benchmarking group. So there can be accounting differences between each authority. I used to work at Harbour, actually, so it's quite interesting.
That's why it's good.
And I think
you've been recycled.
Yes. Yeah. And I think at that time, it's probably 17. They maybe it's the contract cost. I don't know. I'd have to look there and see. I mean, I suppose they would argue that they're quite sparsely populated. We've got quite a large area to cover, and the pass by rate of the vehicles is quite low because of the distance between the villages. So there are differences there. And
yeah.
This does give a sort of, it's quite critical, but it's useful to understand where how much we're accounting for spend per head against this. We have done some benchmarking against our audit family outside of the East Midlands, and that shows that our costs are below average for this service, so that is quite encouraging, and so that's with like authorities there. And the other question you asked, sorry, Councillor Snow,
it was about areas of the borough where you get bigger returns from certain areas, or do you do any more work with people or the areas that don't
What we tend to focus on is not the amount or the weight that we collect from individual areas, because as Councillor Beverton said earlier, what we should be encouraging people to do is not to create waste in the first place. So really what we want people to do is to not generate the waste in the first place. So collecting a lot of recycling from a particular area isn't necessarily a good indicator of who's doing good things and who's doing bad things. What we do measure is the amount of contamination that we get within the recycling that we collect. So Councillor Harper Davies has said that we have materials that we can collect, but unfortunately there are some residents that put non-target materials in the bin. So our three big issues really are textiles,
nappies and food in the recycling bin.
Right.
So we do, yeah, we do monitor that, and we do know which rounds are our worst performing with regards to contamination. We do target those for action. But unfortunately, some residents put these articles in the bin that's being collected next, and not in the one that it should go in. And that is a continuous work that we do with the residents to try and reduce that.
Okay. You probably remember, Chairman, that I think you looked after it. When we first started this, I'm sure we were in the 30s recycling.
Oh, yes.
And
we were.
It has actually crept up, but I understand that it looks as if we've not.
I think, yes. In my previous life, in this borough, I think we were 36% or 35.9%.
Yeah.
When this first came in, one of the biggest things that's happened, and it's listed in the, what, and this it did have effect on this strategy, was the fact that we brought in commingled. That's what really made us improve a lot.
Mm.
But I think it's also very difficult sometimes to do like for like and compare, because we do have a population in this, particularly in the Loughborough area. We have hard-to-reach families that we have, and the team have to do an awful lot of education there. But we have about 10,000-plus students who aren't living in halls of residence, so we're collecting their rubbish. And they're quite hard to tackle when it comes to that. But yes, on page 16, it shows sort of what was happening. But we used to have, and those of us that have lived here in the borough since the 80s, we did have various red, green, blue, black boxes, red sacks, blue sacks. We brought in wheelie bins, and then we brought in the commingle. So yes, there is always other things to look at, but I think at the end of the day, the people that have the most to say is me in my house. And also, I was watching yesterday, when I'm going to get anything, ask it to be taken out of plastic at the shops and put it in bags and things. But also, I think it does start at the top. I think we'll all be very interested, and hopefully you'll be able to keep us informed, Matt and Lee, about the new resources and waste strategy. I think that will be very interesting for us, and hopefully we can bring this back to
I was going to suggest, Chair, do you as a panel want to make a recommendation about reviewing the strategy, or are you happy just to wait and see? And also, this was a pilot to determine whether there was any benefit in reviewing strategies, and
yeah.
If you feel this has been useful, do you want to look at whether there are any others you'd like to review?
We'll sort this one out first.
Yeah.
I think this has been very useful for us, and I hope you found it helpful as well. we would like to review the next strategy when it's, this strategy that's been tweaked, sort of the 2019-24 version, once you've gone through that. Is that agreed?
Yes.
That would be most useful. Thank you very much.
What happens if it isn't reviewed?
I think there's two things from what I can see, is that you can recommend to Scrutiny Management Board that you would like this policy to be reviewed, and for Scrutiny Management Board to decide
where
that should go to, and then you can ask to see it
afterwards. Is that okay?
Madam
Chairman,
we don't know when the new...
We have to put this back to SMB,
yeah,
and say that we would suggest that a possible revised version could be done, and then Scrutiny Management may decide who scrutinises that, and then we would bring it back.
Can I suggest, Chair, that you might wish to recommend to SMB that the view of the panel is that the strategy should be reviewed after
the
government has produced
their
own national strategy.
Yes, it's not worth doing before.
Yeah. Agreed?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for
that.
That's
your part.
And then, this was a pilot.
Yes.
this was a pilot to see whether it was worth the panel reviewing
other
strategies approximately halfway through their life cycle. So it's really over to the panel. There are a number of other strategies that are
going through their life cycle, and
you had a list at one of your previous meetings. So would you like to revisit that? Or
yes, please. Well, I would. Would you like to, at our next meeting, just have a list?
Yes.
And it would really not discuss them, but just discuss other strategies, that, and they're halfway through their term, whether we'd have a look at them.
Yes.
Is that agreed?
Yeah.
So what I'll do is I'll add it to the work programmes and appendix. And
yes, and we just,
yeah,
it's a tick box, not a discussion about them. Okay? And also the name.
I think the point is that this is 12 years.
Yeah.
In this area particularly, there's been an enormous amount of change. I'd be amazed if there weren't changes to be made. So I think that's part of the review, obviously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right. Okay. We move on now to the work programme, item 9.
So, Chair, can I perhaps just summarise? This gives you a list of what's currently scheduled over your forthcoming three or four meetings. You had the review of the light bulb project to schedule. You now also have the additional item on the sickness figures by directorate to schedule.
Yes.
Am I missing? There's another one as well during the meeting.
The other thing that you wanted to schedule was the customer satisfaction query and also the absence.
So there's three items that we have to look at. We turn to page 2 of your report. It is the which has a TBC date on it. The light bulb service implementation. We were going to scrutinise its implementation, and we were looking at November.
Just to bring to the panel's attention, which I'm sure, Chair, you can discuss, is that my understanding is that SMB, you were considering potentially scheduling it in the October meeting, because at the moment the light bulb implementation project is going to be considered by Cabinet at their October meeting. So my understanding is the Chief Executive was happy to defer that to enable the panel to do that review, but you may want to consider whether deferring it for only one meeting for Cabinet is acceptable or not.
Do you want to defer it? What's everybody's views? If any?
I think, looking at what we were talking about, I think November probably makes more sense, doesn't it? I think October is actually a bit too early to give adequate period of time.
I would suspect
on that basis that the Cabinet would need to defer it possibly till December. Which would be obviously two meetings if they're prepared to do that.
I suggest, Chair, you can only control your own work programme.
We can't do it. We'll do what we want to do, and they will do what they want to do.
But they need to be advised of the
implications. Oh, we would be advised.
Yeah, you're right.
Because there wasn't a date on there. Okay.
So you wanted to go to your November meeting, Chair?
Yes, please. We were then looking at If we just go on the ones that are here at the moment, and then we'll go back to the ones that we had, is that all right? Okay, now we do have one here, which is on page 6, which is the Charnwood Lottery, last item. And we were going to monitor the performance of Charnwood Lottery 6 to 10 months after commencement. Can we take that date out of the 19th of February and put in there TBC? Because we don't know yet when it's even going to start.
Oh.
And we did say we would monitor it 6 clear months. So
after it started.
Yeah.
After it had started. So rather than put a date in, can we put it in the TBC? Is that agreed?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would the panel like me to discuss with the head of service what the likely start
yes.
date is?
To give us an idea, please. Then we have the items we would like to put in, which was the levels of sickness by directorate.
Could I suggest, Chair, that if you showed me that for your November meeting,
yes,
we would then have the first two quarters worth of data that we'll be able to
report
to you.
Yeah. Is that agreed?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. At the moment we've only got one.
We've now got three.
Oh, yeah.
We've now got
light bulbs. Yeah, that's right. And what was the other one, please remind me?
The satisfaction with the website.
Now that will take a bit more time because a report, do you want that for November? The web. The results we had, where it was only a hand, or do we want it later to give them time to look into it?
Well, shall we put it in tentatively for November? If they can't make that, then they can let us know, and we'll.
Well,
it's just that November's a relatively short meeting at the moment.
Yes, and Chair, similarly as with the sickness performance, you'll have another quarter's worth of data as well to feed into the report.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that agreed?
Is
that all right, Nicola?
That's fine.
Thank you. So, any other questions or comments on the work programme? No? Thank you very much. So I'd like to make a note that the next meeting is on the 9th of October at 6:30 with the pre-meeting commencing at 6 o'clock. And thank you all very much for attending. And
thank you, Madam Chair.
Just purely for information purposes, when I lived in Korea, we actually had 16 different receptacles for the waste to go in.